says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your reasonable act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." The Christian life, the life of worship, is an ongoing process of having our minds renewed so that we no longer conform to the ways of this world and instead see the goodness of God's revealed will and the truth about ourselves in the light of that revealed will. It's a lifelong process of coming to understand our identity the way that God does, and to embrace that God-given identity and to live it out. And in Romans 12 and what follows, Paul goes on to talk about a bunch of different aspects of life and how to think about them if we want our thinking to be lined up with God's thinking. And it's interesting that the very first thing that he focuses on is our identity as members of a body. That's the very first thing that he turns to. And so look at verse 4 of Romans 12. "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." You might know in 1 Corinthians 10, when he's talking about the Lord's Supper, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:17, "Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." And then in chapter 12, he expands on that image in the bit that Stan read for us, and he describes us as parts of a body. Beginning of chapter 12, from verse 12, he writes, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ." And he sums up in verse 27 at the end of the section, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." We are parts of a body. Whose body is it? Well, he makes it explicit in verse 27, yeah? It's Christ's body. Christ, he's got his own, you know, resurrected physical body, and right now it's seated at the right hand of God. But here on earth, he is embodied in another way. He is embodied in the gathering of the church. The word that we translate church just means gathering or assembly. It's not a particularly religious word. Famously, in Acts chapter 19, it's a word that is used to describe a mob who've come together during a riot. And, you know, I've been in churches that are a bit like that, but where believers gather or assemble, the body of Christ is found. Understand the preciousness, the privilege that it is to gather. When we do, we manifest the body of Christ here on earth. We embody Christ's reign on this earth as we gather together. This is why today, looking at this camera instead of your faces is tragedy. When the Bible uses the image of the body of Christ, it emphasizes three things that are important for understanding our identity as part of Christ's body. The three things are unity, diversity, and physicality. Unity, diversity, and physicality. First, it emphasizes unity. The parts of the body belong together. When a body part is separated from other body parts, we have terms for that. Traumatic injury. Dismemberment. And I'm deliberately talking about parts of the body rather than the more traditional members of the body, because nowadays when we hear the word member, what do we think of? We think of a club, right? But Paul uses member here in the sense of limb or organ. He uses it in the way that it appears in that word dismember, which means to tear somebody apart, limb from limb. We belong together as the limbs and organs of a body belong together. Anytime Paul uses the image of the body of Christ, he's emphasising the unity that exists between the parts of the body. It is the unity of limbs and organs. They all need to be attached together and connected together. They're interdependent. That's why the gathering of the church matters. This is why the act of being together matters. This is why today is grief and disaster. The gathering of the faithful is Christ's body on earth being whole. And if I'm a limb or an organ in Christ's body, then the body isn't whole if I'm absent from the gathering. The unity of Christ's body is impaired if a body part is missing. When the Bible uses the image of Christ's body, it's emphasising the unity of the church. The second thing it emphasises is diversity in the church. And so in Romans 12:4 we read, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. And in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14 we read, now the body is made up not of one part but many. And he goes on in 1 Corinthians 12 to give those funny but false pictures, you know, of the, you know, the I don't belong to the body because I'm not an eye, says the ear. And the foot says, I don't belong to the body because I'm not a hand. And he asks those sort of deliberately silly questions. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? If they're all one part, where would the body be? God's made us all different. But we all have a contribution to make to the healthy functioning of the body. Just like the different organs in the body do different things. Part of your identity is this. There is something about you that is necessary for the healthy functioning of the body of Christ. Is that not amazing? Every one of us has a contribution to make to the spiritual health of Christ's body on earth. As 1 Corinthians puts it, every Christian has a gift to give, and every gift is necessary. This is true whether you are a new believer or someone who's been following Christ for decades. It's true whether you are smart or not so smart, whether you are filled with confidence or terribly shy. It's true whether you are practical and organised or the opposite. If God has made you His, then He has made you a limb or an organ in Christ's body. And no limb or organ in Christ's body is unnecessary. People used to think the appendix was unnecessary, was useless, although it turns out that's not true. There are no useless parts in Christ's body. If you're part of the body, then God has given you a contribution to make to the good health of the body. And it's a practical contribution. Some of the examples of the gifts that the Bible talks about are about speaking the word. Some are about being helpful and caring and serving others. Some are about being generous, about administrating things. There's no set list. But we all have a necessary, practical contribution to make to Christ's body as it assembles. Third thing the image conveys is physicality. Unity, diversity, physicality. A body is visible. It occupies space. The physical gathering of the church demonstrates that the kingdom of God is not an abstract idea, but a tangible earthly reality. We talked last week about being citizens of heaven and being a colony of heaven on earth. We assemble physically to represent that reality, to demonstrate that the God who claims that he will gather his scattered elect for the day of salvation is in fact physically, literally gathering his elect, that he is building his kingdom in this physical world. On earth, Christ has a body. That body is seen in the assembly of his people. And part of our God-given identity is that we are the body parts that make up that body. And I want to highlight three implications of that. There are lots of implications. I want to highlight three. Firstly, we need each other to be true to ourselves. We need each other to be true to ourselves. I will never know my true identity if I cut myself off from the gathering of believers. People do cut themselves off, and they do it for all sorts of reasons. Some of them are sinful and foolish. Some of them are very understandable and legitimate reasons. But you can't be one with Christ and not be part of his body. And you can't be a part of his body if you don't join in the assembly when it assembles. If you amputate yourself, you're not part of Christ's body. We often repeat the cliche, the church is not the building, it's the people. Well, that's true, but it's inadequate. Church is the people who gather. God's people gather. Unless you are in prison, unless you are physically incapacitated, unless you are temporarily restrained by the needs of honouring legitimate government, God's people are gathering people. And there's a place for asking, why do we gather? What's the purpose for which we gather? Those are good questions. But at the most fundamental level, actually, asking why do we gather is like asking Craig, why do you have grey eyes? I don't have grey eyes for a purpose. It's just part of who I am, who God has made me. Your true identity is not sitting at home comfortably in your UGG boots watching me on the screen. It is gathering. And you must embrace that if you want to be true to yourself. I think of a sister who had not actually gathered for a pretty long time. And I thank God that by his grace that changed and she now wants to gather, even though she has to be literally breathing off an oxygen cylinder to do it. When I was at Hurstville Grove as a student minister, one of my responsibilities each Sunday was to pick up an older, not that old, but older lady who lived 150 metres down the road from the church. I'm going to call her Joy because that is what she most radiated. She had multiple sclerosis. She had MS. She needed help to get down her front steps, and she wouldn't have the strength to walk the 150 metres to St Aidan's. She couldn't even sit up for the whole of the church gathering, and so there was a stretcher bed set up at the back that she would lie down on once we got her into the building. But she was there every week. It never occurred to her that she should be anywhere else on a Sunday because she was part of the body of Christ. And Christ does not intend his body to be dismembered. She knew she needed to be with us. And she knew we needed her there. She knew we needed one another as the parts of a body need one another to be healthy and whole. We need each other to be true to ourselves. That's the first thing. Secondly, Christians serve one another because we've all been given gifts for that very purpose. Christians serve one another because we've all been given gifts for that very purpose. you have a contribution to make to the spiritual health and growth of the body of believers. It may be formal, it may be informal, it may be upfront, it may be unseen, it may be crucial, or it may be modest and humble. It may be frequently praised or frequently overlooked. But part of who you are is a gift for the spiritual health of this body of Christ. You'll remember Hebrews 10 from verse 24. It tells us, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." As we meet, we all have something to contribute to that spurring one another on in love and good deeds and encouraging one another as we see the day of the Lord approaching. We all have gifts to contribute towards those purposes. Joy, she knew that. She could do very little. But her gift to us was this. With some help, she could physically turn up, and she could sing, and she could talk, and she could pray. And you have no idea what an encouragement it was to me and to Julie and to others. Indeed, the lessons we learned, the things God did in us, from the simple responsibility of picking her up each week, getting her down the steps, getting her in the car. Who can you encourage and serve and how? Hebrews says, let us consider how. Do you spend time considering how you can be a gift to the other parts of the body who you gather with? And please don't just look for the formal ways. The formal ways, the rostered ways, those are important. But there are so many other ways to also encourage and build up and serve. And some of those are so simple that it's very easy to overlook them. Being someone who just asks the question to another brother or sister, how are you going with God? What can I pray for you this week? How are you going with this lockdown stuff? And don't compare your gift to somebody else's. Don't be the foot who says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not really part of the body. Not all of the parts of the body are as important as one another in terms of what they achieve for the body. The heart is more important than the left little toe. They're not all equally important, but they're all necessary, even if the contribution of some is more modest than the contribution of others. And God is the one who assigns the gifts. He's the one who decides who's the eye and who's the left nostril. And if you feel like your contribution is modest, and if that pricks your pride, well, thank God that He's teaching you humility. And remember whose left nostril you are. Left nostril in the body of Christ. That's the second thing. Third and finally, this aspect of our identity provides a very great encouragement. You belong. You belong. However awkward or broken or new, you belong in Christ's body in the same way that a limb belongs, or an ear belongs, or an eye belongs to the body. Sometimes it can take a while to feel like that, but it's true whether I feel like it or not. If you want to feel like it, then foster it by working to see how you can serve those who gather each week with you. Seek to use the personality and the connections and the capacities that God has given you to spiritually build up those who gather with you. And there's a flip side to this idea, you belong. That person who you find awkward or challenging, that person who's just different to you or maybe rubs you up the wrong way, they belong too. Navigating that relationship, learning to love them, that's part of being true to yourself. because you are both parts of the body of Christ. One of the reasons we can secretly love livestream is we can avoid those challenging bits of our identity in Christ. But when we do that, we forfeit the opportunity to grow in our identity in Christ. God uses those challenging things to grow us and to make Christ's body stronger and healthier. Sometimes we have to do hard things to grow. Do hear me very clearly. I'm very grateful that we live in an age when we can live stream and take questions via email and all the rest of it. But what we are doing today is a tragic and terrible cosmic disaster that is denying our true identity in Christ, and we should be praying that these circumstances are over as soon as possible. We are parts of the body of Christ, but this morning we are not together. Today God's will is not done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we pray that we might sense the immense privilege that it is to be the parts of Christ's body. Where we have neglected that or taken that for granted, Father, lead us to repentance. Father, help us in the face of a very individualistic culture, help us to embrace this aspect of who we are, that I'm not me without these guys. Father, help us to see ourselves in that light as you do, and help us to embrace it and to love it, because it does mean that we belong. We have a contribution to make. And when we all make our contribution, Christ's body is made strong. And what greater task could there be than the strengthening of the body that belongs to Christ? Father, give us your strength for it, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.